Well, good morning. I am so excited to bring you a word this morning. It is such a privilege to be here. I like you. I really do. I am always joking around that people are the worst, but you're not those people, okay? I love this church. I'm so grateful to be here. There are just some great things that we're going to get to talk about this morning. And just so you're not distracted by it, I will get to this bonsai tree over here in my message, but this, I love trees. You know that? I grew up in northern Idaho, and so I was surrounded by trees, but every single one of those trees looked almost exactly the same. They're all pointy little triangular pine trees. And so I love trees, but when I moved here, I was blown away because I don't know if you know this, but about half of Tennessee is trees. There's like 53 million acres of trees. And when I'm driving, even just every day when I get to drive into work, whether it's spring, summer, or fall, I am blown away by the beauty of trees. And God speaks to me in really unique ways. In this last couple years, he's really been talking to me through trees. And some of you are going, uh-oh, Jimmy's lost it, right? No, but God uses things. He uses images. He uses pictures. And when he teaches, he uses images quite a bit. And trees, right, he uses frequently, as you know, you'll notice in the word where he talks about those things. And so I'm excited to talk to you guys this morning. Are you guys ready? Are you awake? You know, today it's I'm going to be reminding us, okay, reminding us where we've been and where we're going, okay? Where we've been and where we're going. And because I want so bad for all of us to be deeply rooted in Christ. That's what we're trying to talk about today, is being rooted in for 2024. So if you would, pray with me as we prepare our hearts. Lord God, we want to follow you. We want to be changed by you. We want to live on mission with you. And God, I know that we can't do that unless we are deeply rooted in the life of Jesus. God, I pray that today we would all till up the soil. We would let you, God, move. That you would be the gardener of our hearts, Lord. That you would teach us how to follow you in new ways as a church family. In Jesus' name, amen. So in a new year, it's customary to look forward and dream and plan and get out your calendars, right? And think about all the changes that you want to see in your life. Every year, we get inundated with all kinds of things saying, you know, here's all the things you need, right? To do something different, to do something new. But before we look forward, I think it's so important at the beginning of the year to stop and to look back and remember all that God has done. It's so important because we forget, we lose track. This church has learned so much in the last year, and I just want to walk through the different sermon series that we've been through just to refresh your heart in all the things that God did in 2023, the things that we have learned together as a family. You know, in 2023, we started the year with a series on prayer and fasting. And this year, we even encouraged you to do the same thing. Right at the beginning of January, we encouraged people to pray and to fast. And it's such an important habit. It's so crucial in the life of Jesus. You see that Jesus fasted, that Jesus prayed, that he spent time with the Father. And what it does is it helps us, right, to depend on God and not our own flesh. It's one of the tools that God uses to shape us. And then we went into the parable series, what an incredible series, about the mysterious reality of the kingdom and how to live in it. The kingdom of heaven. I love the parables. And as you walk through the parables, Jesus uses imagery and to clarify who he is and what he's doing and what you can expect if you are to enter into the kingdom life. And that's what I love about the parables. We went also into Ephesians, remember? We walked through the book of Ephesians together. In our life groups, many of us had that little black journal where on one side of the page you have the scriptures, and on the other side there's a blank page so that you could write, God, what are you showing me as you walk through this year? What are you showing me in the book of Ephesians? We learned so many things together, practical insights on how to live at work, how to live in Christ in our homes, in our church, in our community. You know, don't forget the Enjoying God series. And I learned so much in the Enjoying God series because I'm the kind of person that I like to put my head down and I just plow and I just go and go and go and go and go. And I can lose track of why am I doing this? Why does this matter? And to look up and think about the face of God. To look up and stop and think about how God wants us to enjoy him and how he enjoys us. To really think about how do I see the face of God and to think about how he enjoys us and wants us to enjoy him. What a powerful series. And then we had the series on joy as we went into Christmas, thinking about, I think there's arguably nothing more critical for human flourishing than joy. And I love the definition of joy is just being like someone being happy to be with you. You know, joy isn't always happy. Joy is sometimes things are hard, but God, you are going through this with me. And when I look up and I look at your face, you're smiling. When I look up at your face, you are happy to be with me. And that's joy. That's what it's like to live in joy. So I just want us to stop and think, you know, and that's leaving out a whole bunch of other stuff that happened, right? But just a few of the series that we went through. Think about, just for a moment, what the Lord taught you in this last year. What did he redeem? What did he restore or heal or change? I'm going to talk just a little bit about some of the cool things that has happened in 2023 and kind of the top 10 things that I see that God has done in this last year that I just want us to stop and recognize and remember, not to celebrate Grace Chapel, but to celebrate God and what he's doing, right? And so I'm going to walk you through those and starting with number one, I don't know if you know this, 600 adults are connected in discipling relationships in this church. Through life groups and discipleship groups that gather weekly. That's incredible. 192 of our youth went to camps in 2023, 19 of which went public with their faith through baptism. Isn't that awesome? 400 kids went to VBS, where they raised $7,000 for shoes for children in need in the Dominican Republic. And 40 kids gave their life to Jesus at VBS in 2023. Yeah. You know, we've given away 4,000 plus hours of counseling to our community and our church body this last year to bring healing to the hurting that are in our midst. There's been 71 public professions of faith through baptism in 2023. Here at Grace Chapel, 70 people. Amazing. 21% of tithes and offerings went towards local and foreign missions, which is incredible. You know, this year we were cutting our budgets in half. We were working really hard. Jay did an amazing job pulling things. Thank you, Jay. And that allows us to give away and to help and to make a difference in our community and all around the world. About 50 women are going through our mentoring discipling program, Flourish, in 2023. Well over 100 women are involved in weekly Bible studies, digging into God's word together with small group discussions and scriptures and study every single week. That's amazing. Yeah, the women's ministry got a whoop. So there's a new single moms group that started, and it provides not only emotional support to women in a difficult season of life, but it's also meeting many financial and practical needs that they have. And in 2023, this one amazes me, we'll end here, 170 enslaved and persecuted families were set free. Wow. These are Christians that are in a very difficult circumstances and are being oftentimes persecuted for their faith. And they work in these brick kilns and they're trapped in debt, and we're able to pay their debt, get them out of the situation that they're in, and get them some employment so that they can move forward with a whole new chapter of their lives. That's 826 individual men, women, and children that are now free. Yeah. They're not only free, but they're safely established in Christian community and they have gainful employment because of you. I want you just to look around this room. We were able to free as many people as are in this room right now. Isn't that incredible? It blows my mind. So just take a moment, right? Take a second and just think about what did God do in your family? What has God done in you, in your church, in your life? It's so important that before you start getting out your calendar and making plans and having vision, to say, man, God showed up. I am so proud of this church family. So last week we had a wonderful blessing service, and the elders and the pastors were able to pray blessings over the entire church body. And I heard so many stories of what God has done and what he transformed and what he healed. And I heard so many stories of tragedy and struggle and victory and repentance. I saw people's whose whole families have been transformed through the life of Jesus. And as we just prayed, and I heard story after story after story of God's faithfulness, it blessed me. And it really made me proud of this church family. Because some of you thrived in 2023. Some of you really thrived. And some of you were really honest and you said, I do not want another 2023 in 2024. In fact, probably the most common thing I heard was, I don't want another 2023. 2024 is going to be different. And I just want to proclaim that that is a fact. 2024 is going to be a year in this church where we get rooted deep in Christ and where we flourish and where there is a new kind of fruitfulness that you can't even imagine. God's going to do great things this year. I know it. So, you know, but as we turn the corner, you know, as we start to move forward. I don't know how many of you guys get like all the commercials and the pop-ups and the YouTube ads and the where it's like, you know, these you need to get more organized. Anybody get you need to get more organized? They just knew I needed that, I guess. They're like, you need to get more organized and you can do it in these six ways, or you know, this will help your ADD brain, or here's how, right, to lose weight in this year in six easy steps, right? Or, you know, you see all of these different plans on how you're going to change things around. And we get motivated. And, you know, I turned 49 in January 9th. I just turned 49. And, you know, when I was 20, yeah, thank you. Yeah, 49. When I was 20 and I would see that those things, I would be like, "Woo! All right, this year I'm going to do this. Or this year, and the older and older and older I've gotten, the more wise I've gotten, and the more I've realized that just having a plan, right, a little bit of a plan and a little bit of motivation isn't going to get it done, right? As you can see, 2024 has not improved my waistline. I had plans. You guys can't even imagine how fit I imagined I would be in 2024. And I didn't have a whole lot of vision. I didn't have a very good plan. I did not have a very good strategy, and I definitely didn't follow through. And the reality is that I think I gained about 5 pounds in 2023. So I went the wrong direction. And so when you know, and I know there's other people in the room that are doing the same thing. You know, you're thinking about, wow, this year I want to see something different. I want to see something change, right? Because how many of us want to be exactly like we are right now, 1 year from now? You know, we want to see things change. You know, many of the plans that I talked about, if you applied them, would really make a difference. But there's only one plan that I want to submit to you is the most reliable, the most powerful, and the most secure foundation to build your life in 2024. And no matter what you look like at the end of it, right? God can do amazing things if we will just root our life in the ways of Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 through 8 talks about this, and starting in verse 5, it says, "Thus says the Lord, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." So I'm going to ask you guys, how many of you guys want to be exactly the way that you are right now in a year? You want to look the same, feel the same, live the same. I don't think there's probably a person in this room that doesn't want to see something changed, something redeemed, something made new. And that's what I want to talk about today, because it's not a new plan. It is rooting our lives in the life of Jesus. It is the disciplines, which really sounds serious, but what it really is just doing the things that Jesus did, right? It's just doing the things that Jesus did. But, you know, change is hard. Transformation doesn't happen to us, right? It requires a level of intentionality on our parts. Dallas Willard describes this as vision, intention, and means in his book, Knowing God. In the book, he describes a real problem that we have when we set out to grow in our relationship with God without spending a little bit of time thinking practically about how that exactly would work. For instance, how many of you guys took Spanish in high school? Raise your hand if you took Spanish in high school or even in college, right? How many of you speak Spanish fluently? A few, right? And probably not because of school, right? So you can take the class and not learn how to do the thing because there's not a vision, there's not an intention, there's not really a plan to go somewhere where I have to know how to speak Spanish, right? If you don't have a plan, it's not going to happen. How many of you guys are as in shape and as fit as you want to be? How many of you went to the gym this last year? How many of you guys went to the gym? I missed that, but how many of you guys went? How many of you guys, okay. And how many of you look exactly like you want to look? You feel exactly how you want to feel? Two of you, good job. Why is that, right? Why is it that we can sign up for things, that we can do things, but they don't lead to transformation like we hope they would? I could even ask all of you, how many of you truly want to follow Jesus this year? How many of you really want to be changed by him and live on mission with him? Do you have a vision or even a little bit of a plan that would even lead to that? So that's why I brought my little bonsai tree here. It's just a little object lesson. I've had this tree for about 2 years, and it's probably about 20 years old as a tree. I got it when it was about 18, just got out of high school. And I've been working on it. God's been really teaching me a lot of things through these little trees that I picked up. And these are, you know, of course, one of the ones I didn't kill, right? The ones that died. But this was a, you know, looked like a bush when it started, and I've whittled it down to a tree. And as you can see, bonsai trees, they're in usually pretty shallow soil. And if you just left them like this, right? If you just left this tree just like this in this little pot right here, it would just stay that size. It wouldn't get any bigger. In fact, a bonsai tree is basically a big tree, right? A tree that would be, if it was 20 or 30 years old, it would be a big tree, right? But it keeps it in the miniature because the nutrients, right? The soil is so small that the tree, in fact, this happens in nature where rocks kind of form around and trees just don't have anywhere to go with their roots and they don't have the nutrition and so they just stay this little tiny size. But what would happen if I just left it in here? What would happen if I just left it? In about 2 years, and this is, I've had this for about 2 years now, it would start to suffer. It would start to struggle because what does it need? It needs new soil. It needs new soil because this old soil, as you can see, and I'm gonna make a big mess, just have some fun up here. So I'm gonna rip this tree out of its spot just so you can see what it looks like. I'm gonna get real dirty up here. You know, a tree is as big as its roots. You know, they in the biosphere, they created in, I think it's in Arizona, there, it was this huge bubble that you could go into and you could live, and they put trees in there, and they were gonna basically create a little sustained life habitat for humans, as if they were on Mars or the moon or something, and so people went into this biosphere, and they had these trees, and the trees kept falling over and dying. You know why? Is they didn't account for wind. See, trees need adversity. They need problems. This tree lives outside. It doesn't live in my house. It lives outside because it needs all kinds of problems. It needs cold and hot and wind and push. In fact, trees, if you when you leave today, I hope you look at trees differently. Trees are as big underground as they are above ground. And if they weren't, they would fall over. They're very heavy. In fact, trees need problems. They need adversity for their roots, right, to go down into the soil. And so as the wind pushes them around, the roots actually dig down deeper and deeper and deeper into the soil. And they need new nutrients. You know, if I plop this down over here in this new pot, this tree now can be this big. But if I just left it stuck in this little tiny pot, right, you can tell the roots barely fit in there, it's not gonna grow much. And you know, people are a little bit like bonsai trees. The only difference is that people can move around, right? You know, if you don't put yourself in a position to grow and change this next year, nothing different is going to happen. Shockingly, a year from now, if I don't do something different, I will be just as fat as I am right now. We know this in every area of our lives. Right? It's so practical. So I'm going to talk, you know, I'm going to be talking through really practically, you know, some things that you guys can do this next year so that you can actually grow in Christ, so that you can actually dig your roots a little deeper, right? Get in a little bit bigger pot so that you can grow. And so as I'm going, you're going to want to get your phones out. Because up behind me is going to pop up on the screen so many different things that you could plug into to strengthen your soil and your roots and go a little deeper, bigger pots that you could put yourself in. And if you don't do it, nothing's going to happen. So I want to encourage you to actually get your phone out and snap a photo or go ahead while you're motivated and sign up right now. And it's going to require, right, of you to move. But I want to read to you first from Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 3. Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus has shown us exactly how to be rooted in him. He's modeled for us exactly how to be planted in the right soil. Jesus showed us by his life how to be rooted in God. He's inviting us still to walk with him, to learn from him, and to be his students. And he wants to till up the soil so we can have deep roots in him this year. So I'm going to be moving quickly through some practical things. So get your phones ready so you can scan the QR codes. But if you miss something, right, don't be afraid. It's okay. We'll help you find these things. In fact, all of the information I'm going to talk about is available in the Church Center app. So you can go in there and sign up for it there. So if you want to be a disciple, right, you got to do what Jesus did. Number one, private devotion. If you want to be deeply rooted in Christ, you need to have a private devotional life with God. To grow in intimacy with Christ, you have to spend time with him, right? And the practical ways to do that is through scripture, through Sabbath, and through solitude. You know, scripture, you know, why do we read scriptures? It's because the word of God, it's a light to our feet. And if you want to live your life stumbling, if you want to live your life tripping, then don't turn on the light, right? But a little bit of scripture. Now, I know some people really shame themselves about this, and I just want you to hear me. Hear me out. A little bit of scripture is powerful. A little bit. So any change that you could make where you knew more of what God sounds like, what God loves, who he is, as you dig into the word, your roots are going to go down. It is probably one of the simplest and clearest ways that you can grow in your relationship with God this year. This year we have a Bible reading plan that the men and the women's ministry are going to be doing. If you've never read through the Bible, this is a way of breaking it into little doable pieces, right? You'll get an email and it'll have the scripture. You can go into the app on YouVersion and you can go through a little bit at a time. And you can not only go through it throughout the year with the men's ministry or with the women's ministry, you can actually comment and communicate and talk with the other people in our community about what God is showing you as you go through. It's really cool. So sign up to actually read your Bible this year or take one of our amazing Wednesday night classes. You know, we have so many different ministries, and not everybody even knows that, like, look at all these classes. I mean, Disciple Class, Total Transformation. I've heard so many great things about that class. Joshua, who wouldn't want to be a part of that study? I've heard such amazing things about that, right? Sasha does a great job with that. You got Everyday Supernatural. What a great class. One time I walked through Everyday Supernatural because they were meeting in the offices, and they said, hey, can we pray for you? And the whole class just gathered around me, and they practiced. They practiced praying for me. And God spoke to me through several people in that group. So it was every day, right? It's just normal. It's like as I was just trying to get to my office, right? They grabbed me, and they started. So there's so many ways to plug in. There's so many different classes that you can take. You know, do you want to, I love this, stay married or enjoy being married, right? I think there's a lot of ways to stay married, but there's, you know, there's some things that are so practical. Now, how many of you guys have taken that marriage class that David and Katie have put together, right? It's amazing, powerful class. You don't want to miss out on that. So just look at all these opportunities, these different ways. Do you know that we have partnered with a Bible college here at the church? So if you wanted to take some deeper level Bible study courses, you could come in, and 3 days a month, you come in and you go deep for 3 solid days into the Word of God. What an awesome opportunity, a way that you can plug in and take some classes or audit some classes. Sabbath is a really great way, right? If you want to grow in your private devotion to the Lord, Sabbath is, you know, if we just make it simple, why do we Sabbath, right? Why do we rest and delight in God? Anybody need a little bit of rest and delight in God? You know what? It doesn't come easy. I've, this last year, really tried to Sabbath. And I say tried to because I have often failed, right? But over the course of the year, what I've learned, and it was shocking to me, is how hard I had to work on the day before the Sabbath in order to have the Sabbath. In order to truly unplug, right, I had to get everything done. And so I didn't know this, but did you know that there's actually 11 commandments, not 10? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever been reading along and you stopped and you realize one of the things that the the Ten Commandments says is 6 days you will work. We have an idea that 5 days we will work. But the Bible's pretty clear. 6 days you will work. Why? Because on the seventh day, right, God rested. The Sabbath requires, just like anything, practice and effort on your part and some struggle. I want to encourage you guys. I know a lot of you are very busy. It sounds impossible. So if you can Sabbath for 1 hour, or you know, what we have tried to do in our family is just have a screenless day, a day where we don't have phones, we don't have computers on, we don't have TV, and we do our best to just be together, to rest, and to do things that we enjoy with the Lord. And it is a battle. This world does not want you to do that. I'm telling you, if you want to do that, if we're going to do that, if we're going to follow Jesus, right, if we're going to follow his ways, if we're going to do what the Bible says, if we're going to follow the Ten Commandments, right, then we have to learn how to Sabbath. It's just such a practical thing. Solitude, fasting, spending time alone. You know, why do we spend time alone? You have no idea the miraculous work that God will do if you'll just shut up, be quiet, and sit still for 10 minutes. And I know for a lot of you, that sounds easy. It isn't. Try sitting on your porch for 10 minutes. I want to challenge you, a little bit of solitude, a little bit of rest, a little bit of quiet. God, sometimes, it's not that God isn't speaking, we can't hear him. We're too busy. We're just going a million miles an hour. Unless you stop, right, and have some intentional time of quiet, it's very easy to stop hearing God's voice. Or the next one, biblical community, growing in relationship with other people. This is, you know, I mentioned that about 600 people are plugged in and getting connected and growing in discipling relationships here at Grace Chapel. That means there's plenty of room for more of you to lead and get connected and to grow in this way. Many of you are doing your life in Christ alone. About half. And I'm just telling you, I couldn't have survived this last year without my small group. I need it. You know, and by, you know, between being sick and things going on and busyness, we've been missing each other for the last about a month, you know, throughout Christmas season and whatever. And I am dying to get back with my people that know me and they know my struggles and they know who I am. We all need that desperately. You know, I want you to see some new groups that are starting or have started and you can plug into, that it's just a very simple thing to do. You can get plugged into a life group. You can get plugged into a men's group or a women's group or, you know, there's even now a brand new singles group that's starting that I'm excited to talk about, because a lot of times people get lost after young adults ministry and there's this gap time. Or people that have been through divorce, or people that are going through times where they're alone and they need a community and they want to get together. So that's starting soon, so you can get more information on that on the website. There's a bunch of different groups that are up there. Anybody see any groups that you need to get plugged into? The next one, corporate worship. Corporate worship is a really important part of your walk in Christ. Worship nights, Sunday mornings, when we get together and we worship, things happen in the spiritual when we worship together. Things happen in us when we worship together. It doesn't have to make perfect sense. I can't explain it. But you know, a lot of times while we worship and we sing, even when you're struggling and even when it's just hard to even stand there and not even sing along, God is doing important work in our hearts. When we come to church together, when we show up and we sit together and we stand together and we worship together, God does something in our hearts that's so crucial. Corporate worship, worship nights, so important. Fellowship, hospitality, joining our Connect class. Connect class, if you haven't been through it, is just a really easy way to meet some other people. The Connect class is 4 weeks long. It's not a big commitment. And you plug in and you get to know some other people. A lot of times people in those groups meet each other and start life groups out of that class. It's where most of our groups are born, because people that are new get together and they meet each other and they start a new group. It's a really easy way to get plugged in, get connected, in the Connect class. That's why we call it the Connect class, right? Confession. We all need to confess our struggles, addictions, and hangups. You know, we have a new ministry starting called Thrive that I want to, that is a powerful recovery ministry. Our launch date got moved, just in case you were planning on going this Monday. It got moved because of the weather. We're proactively shifting the date because we're pretty sure it's going to get cold. It's going to get real cold. So get your bread, get your milk, right? And look at the calendar, circle right there, January 29th at 6:30, we're going to have Dr. Neil Anderson is going to be there to speak. And this is a community of people that are honest and are saying, hey, I'm struggling with something, and I want to see that thing go away. I want to see that thing redeemed. I want to see that thing healed. And so it's a very powerful ministry. I want to encourage you guys to be a part of it. But even just coming forward during prayer time on Sunday mornings is another way that you can do that. You know, when we pray up here, it's one of the most obvious, crucial things. You know, when you come forward, you're just admitting, I need God. I need prayer. I need healing. I need confession. I need to repent. And when we do that, something powerful digs into the soil of our lives. Something powerful happens that gives us new life when we confess, when we repent, when we spend time together. The next part, if you want to be deeply rooted in Christ, are these two other things: missional living and kingdom stewardship. Missional living. Jesus, right, served. He was a servant. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So if you want to become like Jesus, you've got to actually get plugged in and serve. Why? Because, not because the ministries, you know, need us to just do them. The reason we serve is because it's a crucial part of knowing and being like Christ. There's so many opportunities for you to do that. If you click on the ministries page there, you'll see at the top of our website, when you go onto the website, you can click on ministries, and there are all these different ministries and all of these different ways that you can serve. And if you want to be informed, you have to opt in. You have to say, I would like to get the women's ministry emails, or I would like to get the men's ministry emails, or I would like to get the young adults emails. And if you do not click on the thing that says I want to get the emails, you're not going to get any of the emails. So a lot of people don't know that, right? They're like, I don't know what's going on here. Well, the reason why you don't know is because you have to take a step and say, I want to know that. We're not going to send, if we sent you all the emails about all the things that are going on here, you guys would hate us, for real. You'd be so buried in emails. So you have to choose, right? I want to get that feedback. There's so many local outreach opportunities that Myron organizes where you can go and serve and help the poor, help people that are struggling, help people in our nearby communities that have been affected by extreme poverty. Like, you drive an hour in one direction and you would not believe some of the conditions that people are living in, and they're handing out food to people and praying with them. And you just get on a bus and you go out there and you give food to people who are hurting and struggling and you pray for them. You don't have to know how to do anything but hand somebody some food and just pray for them and say, is there anything I can pray for? That's what they do. And those, there's so many ways that you can plug into that. And, you know, you'll never know about any of them, though, if you don't go in and say, yeah, I want to know about that, right? Curiosity, I believe, is such an important aspect of walking with Jesus. Jesus asked lots of questions. He asked more questions than he made points. And he was curious. He asked people about their hearts and their lives. And that's what I love about our soul care ministry. Our soul care ministry is walking people through hard things, people that are going through difficult circumstances. About 25 people have been trained, and we've been, and about 14, 15 people are meeting weekly on our campus, in our offices. So we vacate our offices to allow soul care to use our offices to meet with folks, to provide encouragement and support through hard things. And a lot of people don't know that. You know, if you're going through something hard, you do not have to go through it alone. And some of you are going, well, I don't want to go to a small group and open up my struggle to everybody. I need somebody that's a trusted person to walk this through with me. And that's what Soul Care is all about. It's an incredible new ministry that started in this last year that Rick and Diana Kua do an amazing job. Everybody, just take a moment and say thank you, Rick and Diana Kua. Thank you. Kingdom stewardship, faithfully investing what God has entrusted to you. You know, giving what God out of what God has given to you with your time and your talents and your treasures. You know, did you know that, you know, just speaking of stewardship, did you know that Grace Chapel offers free training on financial stewardship? We've paid for all of you to be able to get better at your finances. I know I need to get better at my finances, right? And so you have these classes that are free, and I didn't even know this was there. And when I saw on a Sunday that this was happening, I went in and I signed up for it, and I started getting little reminder texts about things I could be working on my finances. It's been really helpful. Just to kind of take a moment and stop and look, what has God given me? And am I using this right? Am I spending it in the right places? Is there anything I should change? I mean, what a practical thing for our church body, just to stop and say, man, there are ways that we could grow this year in our stewardship. So many opportunities to get rooted in 2024. I mean, God has done so much in 2023. I can't imagine what he's going to do in 2024. You guys remember the sermon series on the disciplines of a disciple? There's a little black book that helps you walk through all the things I just talked about. You know, Sabbath, submission, service, you know, all the things that I'm talking about. And it gives you a little quiz, like, where are you at on a scale of 1 to 10, and where could you grow, or something, you know, simple like that. And it's about this big, and there's a stack of them out in the foyer if you want to grab one. And it's such a great thing to do at the beginning of the year, to stop and go, where am I at with my personal devotion to God? Where am I at with my biblical community? You know, where am I at with my kingdom stewardship and missional living? Like, where am I at in the walking in ways of Jesus? How could I grow? Where do I need to put myself so that I will grow, so that my roots will grow just a little bit deeper this year? You know, I'm going to skip that. Well, I've got you guys. I want to remind you, all these opportunities to grow. I don't want you to hear me saying add 15 things to your schedule. You know, most of these disciplines are things that you need to take off of your schedule. Most of these disciplines are about doing less. Simplicity. You're not going to do more to be more simple. Sabbath, you're going to do more. See, the disciplines are ways of lifting off of us burdens. And so when I show you all these opportunities, some of you are going, oh, I need to do that, and I need to do that, and you're about ready to sign up for 15 things. Listen to the Lord. Stop and say, God, what of these things are you calling me to connect into? Don't put heavy burdens on yourself that you can't do. Start small. You know, if all you can do, if you're like, I can't do anything, I am exhausted, I've got nothing, I'm not signing up for nothing, Jimmy. I'm not plugging into nothing, and I'm not even gonna ask for emails about anything. Okay? If that's you, that's okay. Just start with 5 minutes in your car to just be with the Lord. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And apart from me, you can't do anything. But if you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will produce much fruit. You can just in 5 minutes before you go to work in the morning, while you're defrosting your car, and you can just say, Lord, I need you. Start there. God, I need you. Speak to me today. Lead me in your Holy Spirit. Give me the motivation and the power to change. And then when these opportunities come back around and you actually have the energy to do them and God's calling you to do them, then plug in. Get involved. Let God dig your roots deeper in 2024. Yeah, let's pray. Lord God, we know that if we abide in you, you will produce much fruit. Lord, we want our lives to be deeply rooted in you. So I ask, Lord, that you would till the soil of our hearts this morning. Remove the rocks. Pull the weeds that strangle out all the good things that you have for us. Abide in us. Prune us, Lord. Shape us into what you want us to be. We trust you, God. We rely on you to do it. And we all come to you now as your students. Teach us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. You have a great week. Thank you for being here this morning.